Hi, and welcome to show number 21 of the El Cafecito Travel Talk, a podcast where people share travel stories and adventures. My name is Tony Lloyd, and I'm your host. I'd like to thank all the people who have been following and supporting us so far, and for the new people, I'd like to encourage you to subscribe so that you too could get all the updates as soon as they come in. If you're interested in donating to our show, please take a look at the travel notes to see how you could do so. Also, take a look at the Facebook page to see our written travel stories. And if you're someone who has a story that you'd like to contribute either to the Facebook page or for a future podcast, please send us an email at lcafecitotraveltalks@gmail.com. Any other questions or comments that you might have, you could also send to that same email, which is lcafecitotraveltalks@gmail.com. For today's show, the topic is re-entry. I talk with a couple who share with us their experience of what it was like to return home after 1 year of traveling. So please get yourself a cup of tea or a coffee and enjoy today's show.
My name is Kate Hoffman. I'm from the United States. My husband and I were in the Navy for a while, so we've lived in a lot of places in the United States. We're currently living in Northwest Arkansas.
And my name is Dan Hoffman. I'm Kate's husband.
So Kate and Dan, we actually met almost 3 years ago now here in Cuenca, Ecuador. The reason I wanted to catch up with you today is I wanted to talk about the re-entry after you've been traveling. But what we'll do is first we'll go through and I'll ask you what were some of your reasonings for traveling and then some of your highlights while you're on the road. And then we'll talk a bit about what it means to return home. Kate has written two articles on our Facebook page. First one is If I Die Tomorrow, which actually explains about her and Dan's reasoning for traveling. And then What a Difference a Year Makes, which explains also in more details about parts of their trips throughout that year. You can read either of the two articles to get some more information on that part. So what were your reasonings for deciding to travel?
Yeah, so our reasonings kind of go back a ways. We probably both had the wanderlust for most of our lives. In fact, both of us joined the Navy because we wanted to travel extensively. And unfortunately, while we were in the Navy, we were in the Navy before and during September 11th. So a lot of ports were closed to American ships, and we didn't get to travel as much as we would have liked. So when we got out of the Navy and got married, we committed to each other that we were going to work as hard as we could so that we could retire early and do a lot of traveling after we retired. But then we had some experiences that reminded us you don't always know how much time you have to accomplish your goals. So we decided to take a full stop and take a year off to travel like we had planned to do after we retired. And we did that in 2017.
Dan, could you start off with explaining us a little bit about how it was for that year when you were traveling?
Well, it was before you actually do it, it seems like it's not possible. It's almost like a dream that is unattainable. So when we decided to pull the trigger and actually go through the process of leaving our job, selling our house, of selling most of our belongings, because we actually committed to ourselves that when and if we did get back to America, we would live a much simpler life, because we got caught up, I think like a lot of people, we got caught up in the more is better. So we were living in a very large house that was too much for us. We had too many things that were really not important. So we made a commitment. Not only are we going to change our life by travel, we're going to change our life overall. And the most positive thing I can actually say is we looked at each other one day after a pretty traumatic experience, and we both looked in each other's eyes and said, you know what? This is the time. We have to do this. And I got to tell you, that was the most freeing moment of our lives.
After that moment, what happened next? How did you start off on your journey? What were some of the first places you saw? What were some of the maybe two or three things that you think were the top within the time that you were traveling?
That's always a hard question, is what are the top places? How we decided to start. We bought a one-way ticket to Bangkok and decided to spend about a month in Thailand. And then while we were in Thailand is when we planned the rest of our year. We knew we wanted to spend 6 months in Asia and 6 months in South America. So we started planning that trip around some of these top sites that we wanted to see. Top ones that come to mind are going to Myanmar and seeing the temples of Bagan was like a dream. Mount Everest was another one. We knew we wanted to spend some time in Nepal. Trek, which was just incredible to see, at sunrise, to see the mountains and talk with the locals on the trail. And in South America, probably I think for me, the biggest highlight was the Galapagos Islands were just unbelievably legendary.
Okay. And of course, the Cafecito.
Cafecito was basically the first place we went to after the Galapagos. So it was the perfect way to rest a bit and regroup and to get your wonderful advice about where to go next in Ecuador.
Oh, thank you. Okay. And Dan, what were you're on the same track? Those were your highlights also?
I would say, yeah. It's so hard to describe. I would say Everest. It was just unbelievable because just to see the Sherpa life was just outstanding. Now, another thing that was just surreal to me was the beauty of Sri Lanka. We went there kind of on a whim after we left India. I don't know if there's a more beautiful country on the planet, truly. It's just breathtaking. And beyond that, I would say Machu Picchu. I know a lot of people have done it. I know it's kind of a trite answer, but to do the Old Inca Trail, we did it 3 days in the rain. It was kind of miserable, but the end result was unbelievable. It was beautiful.
Okay. So now you had all these wonderful experiences in your year abroad. Did you already have a pre-date or did you get to a certain point where you said, okay, it's time for us to go home?
We had given ourselves a year. So we stuck with our timeline of a year. We were ending in South America and we knew we wanted to go north to south from Colombia down to Uruguay. That was the last country that we visited and when we had to start making our plans to come back.
Okay. So what was it like when you got to that point where you're like, okay, we're going to be going home in a month or a couple of weeks from now? What was that like?
Extremely stressful, put it mildly. It's amazing how fast a year can go. Come back to America. It was like the end of a fairy tale. Then we found ourselves getting back into the United States mode of thinking and we had to do this, we had to do that. Which, I mean, obviously we had to do, but we were trying to squeeze in one last trip. We did. We ended our travels of a year going to Iguazu Falls, which was amazing. But I will say this, when we did make the decision to come back to America and make all these plans to return and the logistics, that's when we actually started to argue. We hadn't argued for almost an entire year, just the stress of knowing that we're going back to our old lives was extremely stressful.
And I know that obviously these are personal things you probably discussed, but could you maybe share one or two tidbits of what you were actually arguing about so that maybe other people could hear some of that?
What's funny is I can't necessarily say that we were arguing about anything specific. Mm-hmm. It was more, I think both of us were a bit lost in thought, picturing going back to our lives and kind of picking up the pieces. We didn't have a place to live and I didn't have a job. And our families, frankly, were very unsupportive of us traveling in the first place. So I think we were both apprehensive about how we would be received by our families when we came back home. Okay. So I wouldn't say we talked about those topics specifically. I think it was in the back of both of our minds, which made us kind of bicker about small things in the moment. I remember the day we booked our flight from Montevideo back to Miami. And the reason we picked Miami is because my parents live near there and they were going to be able to pick us up. We started bickering just about what we were going to have for dinner that night because it was so stressful knowing that we were going to go back to the U.S. to our old lives. And the people picking us up, my parents, were the least supportive of anyone of us traveling.
So when you made that phone call to them and said, we're coming home, can you pick us up at the airport? Do you remember what that phone call was like?
I was so nervous to make that phone call. And to be honest, I probably would have preferred to go back in somewhere in the U.S. where someone else would be the first people that we saw. Okay. But it turned out that the least expensive flights back to the U.S. were Montevideo to Miami. So I called my parents and I told them we would be landing in Miami and that we would appreciate if we could stay with them for a few days while we worry about picking us up at the airport. We'll fly into Miami, we'll find a bus, or we'll find a way to get to where you live 2 hours away. Don't worry about us. We're on our own. We understand that. And my parents were actually wonderful about it. They said, absolutely not. We want to pick you up in Miami. We can't wait to see you. We're so happy to hear that you're going to be back on American soil, because in their minds, that meant safe. So they did end up picking us up in Miami and they were wonderful about it.
That's good news.
Yes. That's what we decided to do when we returned was to spend about a month traveling around the US, seeing our closest friends and family.
Okay.
We knew that once we got a little bit more settled, I was gonna be, full on into the mode of interviewing and finding a job. We were going to be trying to find a place to live, and we knew things would get very busy and very real very quickly. So my parents were the first people that we stayed with when we got back.
Okay. So Dan, what was going through your mind as you were flying in?
Yeah, it was basically fear of the unknown. Because to reiterate what Kate said, we're coming back to our home country without a house. All of our belongings are in storage. Neither one of our parents were really receptive to the idea of our travel to begin with. And for instance, my father, he is a great man. And when we left, he says, "I do not support this at all. However, as a parent, I will always support you whatever you do." So my parents were actually really helpful in, you know, storing a lot of our belongings and making sure that all of our mail and affairs were taken care of. And they were very happy to see us and very helpful, actually. We actually stayed with them for a few weeks while Kate was looking for work. All of our belongings were actually by where my parents lived. It was almost depressing coming back, but it also a blessing because who gets to do what we just did? You know, things that we really see that most people are not ever able to see.
Okay. You both mentioned a few minutes ago that Kate was going to be looking for work. How did you decide, okay, who would look for work first? And
yeah, so a number of years ago, I was also in the corporate world, but Kate was always the lead career. And she was getting promoted about every year and a half to 2 years. And when she got promoted, that would move us to a new location. Now, that I was always starting over, like, basically from the beginning. And that got very old very quickly. And that's actually why the last time we were in Arkansas, we decided, you know, I needed something more of a transferable job. So I actually went to nursing school. So it's so transferable, wherever we move to, I'll be able to gain employment. But Kate has been the lead career for all of our marriage. And so it's kind of a no-brainer for us. It was going to be her before work, and then I would follow up wherever we had landed.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. Do you feel like you have checked off your list, the things you really wanted to accomplish from this year abroad?
We had started our year with a life list of places we wanted to get to: Southeast Asia, Asia, and South America. And really, we hit most of them.
Okay.
So that was great news. I felt it very fulfilled coming home, and I didn't feel like there was this one place that was really nagging at me. Mm-hmm. Maybe Easter Island. That's the one place we didn't really get to. But that being said, in no way would I ever say that we're done traveling.
So you'll definitely be back on the road again. I talked about your parents, both of your parents, but some of the reactions with friends and explaining to them about their story. Were you able to motivate maybe one or two of your friends to maybe think about doing something?
Yeah, so that is a great question. So yes, I have a very specific example of us motivating some of our friends. My friend Kim, I've known since I was 1 year old, and her husband and Kate and I have been friends for 15 years. We go on holiday together. We do everything together. In fact, we're actually going to see them in a month. That's going to be our first holiday actually since the lockdown is with them. So when we explained to them what we were doing, I'll never forget this. My friend Sam, who's a little bit older than us, he just started to cry. And I wasn't sure why. I went to him like, "Are you okay?" He's like, "I'm so happy for you guys. And I'm so happy that you're pursuing your dream. And I'm so sad that I have never pursued my dream and what I wanted. I've been saying for years, I want to live in Florida. I want to live on the beach. Why can't I live in a place that I've always wanted to go while I'm stuck here in Chicago, where it's freezing cold all the time?" Well, a few months after we left on our journey, we get on the phone with our friends Kim and Sam and realize they both have quit their jobs and found a place in Florida and have moved. And they decided, you know what? We're going to live life now because it is possible. So that was actually very cool.
Oh, no, wow, that sounds interesting. When did you decide where you were going to live? When did you decide to start to find a house? What were some of those challenges like that?
So I decided to go back to the same industry that I had been in. So the industry that I'm in is consumer packaged goods, and that's where I've spent my career for about 15 years. What I had done while we were traveling, I had kept in touch with about two or three headhunters, folks that were big recruiters, told them what I was doing, and that when I got back, I was going to be looking for work. So I kept in touch with them throughout the year a few times via phone and let them know my timelines. And then when I got back, I contacted those folks to say, "How do we do this?"
Okay.
And the recruiters were wonderful. They were excited about the fact that I was back, that they could start looking for placements, and there were a lot of opportunities available. A big, all prospective employers are going to need to understand why you quit your job, why you traveled for a year, what you learned during that year, and you're going to need to be able to explain it very succinctly in an interview so that it comes across as a positive and not that I'm lazy or that I'm irresponsible or unreliable. So that I thought was great coaching during the interview process.
We actually did do a show with Barbara from Czech Republic, who is a human resources person. And she talks a bit about that on the show also. And we will definitely touch that subject again in more shows. Do you remember one or two points that might have come up in one of your interviews?
I tried to do was turn the traveling into a positive by explaining what I had learned. So one of the biggest skills that I believe Dan and I honed while we were traveling was problem solving. You may or may not speak the local language wherever you are. If an issue arises, you have to be able to solve it, and you're probably going to have to get creative to solve it. An example of that is when we were traveling in Laos, we were visiting the archaeological sites of the Plain of the Jars, which are very remote away from the closest town. And we had rented a moto to do it, and literally the moto split in half in the middle of this country road, miles away from the closest town. And we were able to solve it by, we had to split up. I hiked into the village. I finally found someone who had a cell phone, a monk who spoke a tiny bit of English and was able to explain to the locals what was happening with us. And we were able to solve it. But I actually think that giving examples of how traveling actually would make me a better sales leader was effective during interviews.
Was it difficult to convince these people? Did you actually come across anyone who said, oh, that was a great thing that you've done?
One of the companies I was interviewing with, actually the one I ultimately joined in 2018, I had 14 interviews with that company alone, all the way up to senior leadership. And I would say one of the reasons why I chose that company was because everyone's reaction who I interviewed with, once I explained my reasons for traveling, once I explained the skills that I had learned while traveling, everyone said, that's amazing. And it also seemed like, I think they understood that I would be willing in my personal life and my professional life to take calculated risks, which in sales can be a big asset. But there was one company that I interviewed with when I interviewed with the senior vice president for North America sales, and he got a little testy with me. And he actually said, you've been on holiday for a year, prove to me that you can survive here. And he was very aggressive about asking that question. I was pretty adamant about, yes, okay, I wasn't working for the last year, but it's not exactly a vacation. You know, I wasn't, you know, sitting on the beach all day and going out drinking every night. We were busting our butts, going to a new city every 3 days. Planning was paramount. So yes, I haven't been working, but it was not exactly relaxing, and I can survive here.
Always going to be people who think that you were just on holidays. But yes, it's very important, as you said, to go with the people who do understand what you've done.
And they never will understand it. So it's not useful to think, oh, let me join this company and see if I can change their thinking. That's highly unlikely.
Moved in to your new house, and how did you go about setting up your social circle?
So when we moved back to Northwest Arkansas, we had actually lived here before.
Okay.
And we actually knew quite a few people here as well. February of this year, we actually moved to a different town within the same area. And we were just beginning to meet our neighbors and, you know, become friendly with them. And then obviously 4 weeks later, everything shut down. So now we're kind of stuck in limbo. Our friends live decently far away, so we don't see them nearly as often. And the new place we live, we just wave to our neighbors. We really don't know them.
To sort of end up the meeting, to talk a little bit, if you could think of a summary of what you have learned during this transition period, and what would you like to recommend to others?
It was more difficult emotionally to come back than I expected. I thought that the hard part was going to be going back into a regular life, finding a job, finding a house, you know, kind of more the day to day.
Okay.
That part came together, you know, I won't say easily, but probably easier than I expected. Emotionally, it was a little bit hard, I think, to be as energized and excited about the work I was doing as it had been before we left, because I was coming back off of this huge high, you know, seeing a new thing every day, learning a new thing every day, eating a new food every day. And here I was kind of back into my day-to-day life. In all honesty, about a year ago, I'd been working at my company for about a year and a half when we got back. And I went through a pretty severe bout of depression. It was almost like a delayed reaction, sort of asking myself questions like, what's it all for? Why am I doing what I do? I know there's this incredible world out there. Why am I not continuing to experience this incredible world? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And it was a really tough, you know, probably couple of months where I was questioning a lot. And I think that I could have done a better job being open about those type of feelings when Dan and I were first coming back. Like I said, we weren't talking specifically about the stresses that I think we were both feeling and the anxiety about returning. We were focused on what's next. And I think if I had done more of that work to talk about what I was feeling earlier on, I might not have had such a significant bout of depression after the fact.
Okay. And were you able to talk with others about that, or even with Dan? Or was it something that you just kept internally?
With Dan, yes. Dan and I had some long conversations because I was, you know, it was obvious that I was not in a good way. Okay. And I tried to be as open with him as possible about how I felt and maybe the why behind it. The fact that I felt like I was maybe having this delayed reaction of, you know, what's it all for, kind of. But there is really no one else. I haven't tried talking with anyone else, but my assumption was I would probably get a whole lot of, oh, woe is me. You had this incredible life experience and now you want me to feel bad for you because you're back having to do what the rest of us have to do and go to work every day and live in middle America. You know, sorry, that's life. So I shouldn't assume that people would react that way, but that stopped me from being open with others outside of Dan about it.
I think it's important when that happens, and it happens to a lot of people. And, you know, it's a good thing that you went traveling together as a couple, so you have each other to bounce off of. But there are people who sometimes go as an individual and don't have that person to bounce off of. But I think it's important to reach out to others who maybe in your area or even through internet have gone through some of those same trips, and maybe also like contacting some of the people you met along the road. That is a very true and real thing, the emotional part of getting back into the game.
Absolutely right. And to back up what your point, it is very important to talk about it. And I know it was very therapeutic for Kate and for myself as well. I was going through depression as well. It is with talking with other travelers, it is a natural thing. And I see our friends in the Netherlands that we had met on our travels. It was very therapeutic for us because they did the same thing and they had to reintegrate back into their lives. So to talk with other people who have reintroduced themselves back into what you say, the normal life that they had left before starting travel, to share those experiences with each other and how you're feeling, that was extremely helpful. And I would say that's the turning point where just being able to talk about it with other people with similar circumstances really helped us get out of that funk and focus on the positives, right?
Okay. And what are your plans for maybe the next few years?
Yeah, so the advantage to the job that I'm in is since I'm the international director, there are 10 international focus markets. So I manage those markets. The intent would have been this whole year, I would have spent traveling to all of those different markets, understanding their business. Obviously, that didn't happen with COVID-19 lockdown. So that's what I'm hoping in 2021, fingers crossed, that I can really throw myself into the goal of Dan being able to join me on some of those market visits where possible so that we can kind of continue getting that energized feeling from traveling and having new experiences. And we're still planning when we retire. We still want to do what our original plan was, is to retire and kind of travel as long as we want, probably spending a few weeks in a lot of different countries until we're done.
which could be years, because honestly, people did ask us, you know, did you ever get tired of traveling? Did you ever get tired of, you know, seeing a new place every 3 days and being on a bus with no air conditioning? And, you know, there's chickens on this bus. I mean, are you crazy? The simple answer is absolutely not. The travel is part of the journey, and the journey is what for Kate and I is what life is all about. So the journey will always continue.
The journey will always continue. Well, that's the time that we have for now. And hopefully I'll have you on again another time. And yeah, let's keep in touch. And so let the journey continue.
Yes, always.
Absolutely. We can't wait to see you again there, Tony. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Tony.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening in. I hope you enjoyed today's show. For information on how to contact Kate and Dan and to see the two stories that Kate has written for our Facebook page, please take a look at the links of the podcast notes. And if you're someone who would like to contribute a story, either for our Facebook page or a future podcast, please send us an email at lcapsitatraveltalks@gmail.com. Also for questions and comments at that same email, which is lcapsitatraveltalks@gmail.com. Anyone who would like to contribute a donation towards our show, please take a look at the podcast notes to see how you could do so. All donations will be greatly appreciated. For the people who have not done so as of yet, I'd like to encourage you to subscribe so you get all the future updates as soon as they come in. I look forward to someday meeting you here at the El Cafecito in Cuenca, Ecuador, or at our sister location in Quito. For now, please stay safe and all the best.